So Gino Huang is an economist who got his PhD in economics at the University of Illinois at Chicago with a focus on health economics, and is a research specialist now at the Health Policy Center at the Institute for Health Research and Policy at UIC. And his research focuses on the economic and public health impact of tobacco tax and price policies and smoke-free air laws in the U.S. and how these policies, along with other efforts, influence youth and adult tobacco purchasing behaviors and tobacco use-related outcomes. He's also involved in several projects in developing countries such as China along the same lines. And his presentation is going to discuss alternative approaches to measure cigarette prices, how differences in these prices reflect the extent of cigarette company price-reducing promotions, and of opportunities for tax avoidance, which we've not heard about yet, including cross-border shopping and cigarette purchasing on reservations and its policy implications. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Tim, for the introduction. And yes, I'm a health economist, but not as good as Frank. So
he's even frank about Frank.
Okay, so the Todd mentioned several different ways to do price monitoring and surveillance. And Todd mentioned, specifically talked about store scanner data. And Lisa talked more in depth about observational study of collecting price measures. I'm going to talk about three different other ways. One is the self-reported price from representative surveys and archival sources, and also another major source, which is compiled by tobacco industry from TBLT. Neither Frank nor I has any relationships to disclose, and we would like to acknowledge the funding for this study, which is provided by the National Cancer Institute as a as part of its state and community tobacco control initiative. And the study, this particular study, is building on the work our UIC team did before, which was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for the Bridging the Gap research team, and also the IDC study that I'm going to talk more in detail in my slides is funded by a variety of organizations. So to give an overview of what I'm going to talk about, the first, I'm going to separate the presentation into two parts. The first part, I would like to compare the self-reported price with the archival price for the United States. And in the second part, I'm going to compare the self-reported price with the archival price for both Canada and U.S. So the first part, is for U.S., basically compare the price measures from TBLT, which is tax burden on tobacco. Tax burden on tobacco is a compilation of data related to tobacco tax, tax rates, tax revenue, and cigarette tax paid cigarette sales, and a lot of other data related, which was originally produced by Tobacco Institute, but more recently compiled by the company Orkowski and Walker. The way tax burden on tobacco collect data on price is based on a it's a mail-based survey about 16,000 cigarette retailers in the United States. And the price were reported as November 1st each year. And the price measure is a weighted average of single pack, carton, and vending machine, separate for generic brands and for branded cigarettes. The price measure in TBOT include state excise tax, but does not include sales tax. In addition, those prices are listed price, so they do not reflect any price reducing marketing by either tobacco industry or by purchasing behavior from consumer perspective. And the retail outlets in TBOD does not include retailers on the National American reservations. And again, as I mentioned earlier, those prices do not reflect opportunities for tax avoidance and tax evasion from consumers' perspective. So in this slide, we show the correlation between TBOT price measures with state excise tax rates. As you can see, there is a very nice correlation between the price measure from TBOT and the state excise tax rates, which shows that TBOT price measures really reflect very well the differences in prices across different states. So that's TBOT price measure, and then I'm going to talk about the self-reported price from representative surveys. Specifically, I'm going to talk about the self-reported price from tobacco use supplements to current population survey, CPS TUS. We can construct self-reported price measures from other surveys as well, such as National Adult Tobacco Survey, which is conducted by CDC. But I'm going to focus on CPS and TUS for this presentation. Basically, the self-reported price measures from those surveys are usually constructed from survey questions. Survey questions usually ask respondents how much you pay for the last pack of cigarettes or pack or carton of cigarettes you bought. Netting out the coupons the consumer used, and also taking into account any price-reducing behavior by consumers. For example, in CPS TUS, the survey specifically asked the respondents where the respondent purchased the cigarettes, in their own states or in a different state. The reason is that, especially respondents live in localities in which have very high local cigarette taxes. For example, in Chicago, smokers can go to a different state. For example, Indiana, which is very close to Chicago, and basically avoid the tax by city of Chicago and by Cook County. City of Chicago is 68 cents and Cook County it's $2 per pack. So basically it's quite a saving if you go to a different jurisdiction. In addition to that, CPS TUS also asked the channels the smokers purchase their cigarettes, either through internet or phone or mail, those direct channels, or whether the purchase was made on the Native American reservations. However, the Native American reservation purchase was only asked in the most recent CPS TUS survey. Basically, it's 2010 and 2011 wave of CPS TUS. Earlier surveys, CPS TUS did not ask the purchase on Indian reservation. So basically, as you can see, the self-reported price measures from CPS TUS has an advantage over archival price measures such as TBOT, and also price measures from observational study and store scanner data, because they not only reflect the marketing by industry, but also reflect the tax avoidance and tax evasion behavior from smokers. Okay, so what we did is we constructed comparable price measures from CPS to US to just put the two price measures together and see the difference. Well, the differences in price, we hypothesize that it's going to be attributable by several factors. Particularly, it is we hypothesize that the price from PBOT is going to be higher than the self-reported price. The reason is that the price in CPS TUS would reflect first the price reducing marketing in which is reflect in TUS but not TBOT. And in addition to that, the price measures in CPS TUS also reflect cross-border shopping, which is also not in, reflected in TBOT. In addition to that, the direct sales purchase and the tax evasion was also reflected in TUS but not in TBOT. So this is a slide that just showing you the marketing expenditures by tobacco industry. So over the years, the marketing expenditure by tobacco industry has increased dramatically. But what's more striking here is, as you can see, the major part, the predominant spending by tobacco industry on its marketing is basically on the category of price discounts. So it gives you a perspective of how the marketing expenditure by tobacco industry would influence the actual price paid by smokers. So here is the result. Here it shows the difference between the difference in price of per pack of cigarettes between TBOT and CPS TUS. So as you can see here, we listed by states. In every state we looked at, the price from TBOT, tax burden on tobacco, are higher than the self-reported price from CPS TUS. And in state of New York, the price is the biggest. So the price from TBOT is $1.20 higher than the price we constructed from CPS TUS. And this is 2003 waves. And looking at the price differences between TBOT and CPS TUS for the 2006 and 2007 waves, we basically observed the same pattern. The overall, the price from TBOT are much higher than the price from CPS TUS. And again, the states, in states in which taxes were higher and there are more opportunities for avoid taxes, those price differentials are bigger. And we constructed a measure of tax avoiders using the responses from CPS TUS. This is from 2003 with of CPS TUS. Basically, it's among the respondents, how many percent of respondents engaged in any tax avoidance behavior, such as direct purchase from internet, phone, mail order, and from cross-border purchase. This is because this is 2003, it does not include a reservation purchase because it's only available in the 2010 and 2011 waves of CPS TUS. Again, we see the similar pattern in the 2006 and 2007 CPS TUS data. In this slide, we show the correlation between the cross-border tax avoidance behavior with the state taxes, state cigarette taxes. And as you can see here, basically, in states where cigarette taxes are higher, there are more percent of smokers engaged in cross-border tax avoidance behavior. And we also looked at the state cigarette taxes and other tax avoidance behavior. Basically, it's the for 2006 and 2007, it's direct purchase, basically. And you also see a nice, well, it's not as nice as we saw before, but there's still the correlation showing the states that have higher taxes tend to have a higher percent of smokers who engage in other tax avoidance behavior. So to summarize the differences between price measures constructed from TBOT and from CPS TUS, well, first, TBOT prices overstated actual prices paid by smokers. And because it does not capture opportunities for tax avoidance, and it does not capture the sales that have evaded tax, and it does not capture the price-reducing promotions by industry. Price based on the self-reported survey data, such as CPS and TUS, appears to be a valid measure of the price smokers actually face when they purchase cigarettes. So the takeaway point is, if we're relying on archival prices such as TBOT, it will lead us to biased estimates of the impact of price. And I'm going to give a specific example at the end of this talk, just looking at how FDA, how this tied into FDA's economic analysis of warning label requirement. Okay, so the second part, comparing the official price series and survey, the price measures from survey from ITC survey, International Tobacco Control Policy Project. Okay, thank you. So basically, in both Canada and in U.S., we have official price series that track tobacco products. In U.S., we have Bureau of Labor Statistics use a methodology that's similar to observational study Lisa discussed. And recently, Bureau of Labor Statistics also incorporated the store scanner data into their CPI calculation. So they basically track the price change for cigarettes and other tobacco products in the U.S. And in Canada, Statistics Canada also tracks price for cigarettes, and it only included selected a few selected cigarette brands, and it includes price reducing promotions. However, it's unlikely that the official statistics from Statistics Canada would include price from cigarettes that avoided tax. So we compare the official price data with the self-reported price measures from ITC project. ITC project is a representative sample of smokers in both in U.S. and in Canada, and it asks the respondent how much they actually pay when they last purchased their cigarettes. And the price from ITC includes price reducing promotion and purchases that avoid tax. So here is the results for Canada. As you can see, the third column, it's the percentage change in the price for cigarettes from the government official data. If you look at the overall trend between 2002 and 2011, you will see the official data show that cigarette price increased by about 20% during this time period. However, if you look at the price, self-reported price measure from ITC project, you will see it's not just quantitatively different; it's qualitatively different. The direction is opposite. So ITC price actually show during this time period the price paid by smokers actually declined by 4%, and this is really really important, which I'm going to talk about later. As you can see, we graphed the two price series here, and the difference between ITC price and government official price index really the gap increased over time, and it's correlated with the percent of illicit cigarettes market share also increased in during this time period. So it gives you a perspective in how this, you know, how the illicit cigarette trade, how the market share of illicit cigarettes contributed to the price gap between the government official data and the self-reported price measures. And here is the data for U.S. Between 2002 and 2011, the CPI published by Bureau of Labor Statistics showing the price of cigarettes increased by 44.9%. However, if you looked at the ITC data, the price it's increased, but it's only increased by about 25%. So here is the differences between the two data series, and we graphed the percent of market share of illicit trade of illicit cigarettes in the U.S. And as you can see, when the market share of illicit cigarettes increase, the gap tend to become bigger in the U.S. as well. So the summary is the official price series may misrepresent the actual trends in price over time, and self-reported survey data seems to be a better measure of the cost of smokers actually pay over time. So if you have any questions, please feel free to send me or Frank an email. Here's our contact information. How much time do I have?
About 0 seconds.
Oh, okay. So I'm good. But if I can just have like 2 minutes, maybe just talk about the example of why this is important.
Okay.
So FDA is required to conduct economic analysis of warning labels for the pictorial warning label, and they used the Canada as a example because Canada adopted pictorial warning label in 2001. So in order to assess the impact of warning label, how warning label would reduce smoking prevalence, FDA basically used Canada as a treatment group and used U.S. as a control group. And what FDA did is they regressed the smoking prevalence on the official government cigarette price data that I just showed you. As you can see here, the government price data really showed the price were increasing. So it attributed too much a reduction in smoking prevalence to price change. However, the fact is the price really is declining in this time period. So the FDA analysis really attributed too much reduction in smoking prevalence to price and too little change in smoking prevalence to warning labels. So basically, we did some preliminary analysis just showing our estimates is about 15, 17 times bigger than what FDA analysis. So this is just showing how important those different price measures are. Okay, so that's
very
it.
Much.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we have just a couple minutes. Would anybody like to ask a panelist a question? Yes.
Question about the data just presented that showed the tobacco industry expenditures on promotion have increased, and that we've all understood that, but the majority of that is in the discounts. Are discounts included in the estimates for the billions of dollars that the tobacco industry spends on marketing? Because in some respects it seems like that's not a real expenditure. They get a tax credit, I suspect, and you see where I'm coming from, that there is a huge amount that is attributable to the promotional discounts. But that's not ads. It's not what they're paying out. It's to reduce the cost.
Yeah.
The short story is yes, right? That is included. The $10.5 billion, a large fraction of that, as was shown in the slides, is discounting. It is discounting. The one thing I think something we don't understand completely about this is that in addition to the actual discounting, the cost to them of discounting the brand, they also use discounting and promotion as part of their marketing strategies. You know, it's done via mailing, it's done via the web, and it also lubricates their relationship with the retailer. So they're getting more than just the pure price now, but it's a very good point. Other questions? Yes?
I had a thought while looking at Dr. Henriksen's presentation. I just wanted to get your feedback on the thought that I had. In the African American community, especially among our leaders, they are very much against excise taxes, claiming that such taxes are regressive. And this has been historically what we've been seeing in terms of being able to pass initiatives to support taxes that we don't get support from certain organizations. I'm just wondering if your data would help them to see that prices are already too low. So by increasing the excise taxes, there's not going to be this overburden of excise taxes in this one community. As a strategy for approaching African American organizations to get their support.
Yeah, it's a sort of conundrum for me that they prefer one of the most expensive brands. So you could use these data in a couple of ways. You could illustrate that prices are already too low, that they're especially targeted for price reductions, and that excise taxes would help the community by raising prices, which is associated with less use. But the other answer to the argument about regressivity is that lower income smokers tend to be the first to quit. So it's an industry argument that has taken hold in communities where we need them to believe otherwise.
Okay, in the interest of keeping everybody on time, since we're now on time, thank you very much, everybody that was here, but let's give another round for the panel.